Thank you, Luke. I bring with me the love of the brothers and sisters in Wardley. You just have to forgive me because I printed my talk out yesterday and put it in the bag, and then when I went to get it out 5 minutes ago, it wasn't there. Fortunately, I have it on an email, so you'll have to bear with me. If I'm looking at my phone a lot, that's why. Phones never do what you want, do they? Right, thank you. I found it. So, my dear brothers and sisters, what is it that you spend your time thinking about? I think we have at least one thing that preoccupies our thoughts. I would like to stand here and tell you that I spend every day thinking about Jesus and what I should be doing to serve God. But that simply would not be true. What I think about does change. Currently, hot topics are air source heat pumps. In fact, just this week, we've had one fitted. It's not ideal timing because, as you may detect, it's quite cold outside, so we've had no heating for the most of this week. It's quite difficult to write a talk when you're sat at home with your coat on, gloves and hat and scarf. Anyway. So, I must give some credit to Brother Ian Lawson, whose study I have taken the liberty of using. So what else am I thinking about at the moment? Well, I've been thinking about solar panels, battery storage, what I'm going to do at the end of October when I'm made redundant. And then, there's the big question. Retirement. And pensions. Because, believe it or not, I've really only got 3 more years and then I want to retire. It's hard to believe, I know, but I'll be 60. I'm quite looking forward to retirement, if truth be told. So that does raise the question, just when should I retire? And then, of course, that leads on, doesn't it? How much will I need? Where should I be investing my money now? And how much should I be putting into my pension? If there's anyone that can answer any or indeed all of these questions, then please see me afterwards. The reality is, of course, that no one in this room can answer these questions. And it's my honest hope that actually all of these questions will become irrelevant. Made irrelevant by the return of Jesus. But again, we don't know when this is likely to be. We do know that it will happen. But we have a very nice cruise booked in October. So maybe if you could just return in November, that would be nice and convenient. But sincerely, brothers and sisters, I do hope and pray for the establishment of God's kingdom. Because I know in my heart that only then will all the many problems we see day after day in this world in which we live, a world which man has manipulated and abused, only then will we ever see an end to all of these problems and the conflicts in the world. So then, back to the point. I spend most of my day walking around, not thinking about Jesus, or how I can serve or give praise to God. No, brothers and sisters, I often find myself in the darkness of the world in which we live, with blinkers on, I focus on what I want to see, what is important to me. Quite often, this is the wrong things. There are occasions in Scripture when people were either spiritually or physically blind. The Apostle Paul's physical blindness was used by God to open his spiritual eyes so he could see the things of God and enable others to see too. I'm sure all of us can think of a time in our lives when the scales fell from our own eyes, when we knew that baptism was essential to become a brother or a sister in Christ. How happy we were, and how willing to go in the direction of our Heavenly Father. But spiritual blindness is a recurring problem. How often have we lost our way because our spiritual eyes become clouded? Consider the example of Balaam's blindness, which is accounted for in Numbers chapter 22. You remember, neither of his two servants could see the angel of the Lord, but his faithful donkey tried to protect its master and turned into a field. Balaam, not understanding, struck the beast and continued on his way, as we often try to continue on our own way, despite warnings from our brothers and sisters. The second warning results in Balaam getting injured when his foot is crushed against the wall. It's in verse 25. Often turning away from God and ignoring the warning signs results in us thinking we have been injured by those trying to save us from our own blindness. Our stubbornness to go our own way means we cannot see that the actions of others are done in love, and instead we turn against them. Yet still Balaam could not see and was prepared to kill his donkey, which was trying to protect him. The Jewish people could not see that Jesus was prepared to lay down his life to protect them from themselves. And they went ahead and crucified him. his return as king, their eyes will be opened. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. You can read that in Zechariah chapter 12. Back to Balaam. Finally, his eyes were opened. And he admits fully that he was wrong in verse 34. The account is surely a type and shadow of our relationship with Jesus. Like Balaam's faithful acts, Jesus acts as a mediator between ourselves and God. He shows us that we were going the wrong way in our life by leading us off the wrong path, which leads to death. Even when our own spiritual eyes were blind, he suffered for us. It was only when our eyes were opened and we understood the suffering he went through that we could ask forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, like Balaam and his ass. We could then continue on the journey together with Jesus. And of course, Jesus carries the majority of the burden. You can read, if you read Matthew chapter 11, and verses 28 to 30, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that man's plans are from the heart. That is, they're made in secret. But God's message is plain for all to hear. Our own ideas and plans may appear innocent, but God can see into our hearts and minds and knows our true motives. We often fool ourselves and can give an excellent reason for going a particular way, even when we know in our hearts that it's taking us away from God. We cannot deceive our Father, as verse 5 clearly states. And in verse 9 we read that often, like Balaam, God has to redirect our steps. And in verse 17, talks about the highway of the upright, which avoids evil, and that a person who guards their way avoids evil. Jesus spoke of just such a path. It is the only one path that we can travel along if we wish to arrive at the kingdom, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 14. So who is the only one who we can all rely on to be our guide along this path? It is, of course, Jesus himself. Our brothers and sisters can encourage and support us, and we can do the same for them. Indeed, we should. We must all remember, however, that light hour, the only true guide must be Jesus. He reminds us of this strongly in his parable in Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in chapters 3 and 4, Paul begins by telling the believers how the gospel is for everyone, whether a Jew or Gentile. And up to this point, it had been a mystery, something hidden, but now was to be revealed to all. We know, of course, that there is only one road that leads to life. And it is because of Christ's sacrifice. The way to God is open to us. And through faith, we can approach him. We learn of the way being opened when Jesus died, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. You can read that in Luke chapter 23, verse 45. Paul exhorts to us in Ephesians about the journey on the road together as brethren and sisters. Tells us that we are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And throughout the chapters 3 and 4 of Ephesians, he stresses the need for unity, to be of one body, to care for each other as one body. And there are many verses in Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse 6, in chapter 4, verses 3, 16, 28, 32. This is what makes us different. Those who walk, Gentiles, that is, those who walk in the broad way are mentioned in chapter 4, verse 17. Our way is clear, but those who don't follow Christ, the way is very unclear, darkened because of the blindness of their hearts. How privileged we are, brethren and sisters, to have our pathway clearly lit, both by the scriptures, as it says in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and by the guide who walks with us along the way. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John chapter 8. We must always be aware that our human nature tries to draw us away from the light, to wander off the path and into darkness. Because men love darkness rather than light. So for this coming week, brothers and sisters, let us try and remove those blinkers. Let's move out of the darkness, away from our own thoughts and desires, and into the light of the Lord Jesus, and follow the path which he has laid for us. The emblems which we are about to take speak to us of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf whilst we were still in darkness, when we were spiritually blind. It reminds us that our guide along the narrow path to life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows every rock and pothole that we must avoid, every steep incline that we must overcome, and the tempting diversions that lead us off into darkness and ultimately death. He knows all this because he too has walked the path before us. And he is willing to walk beside each one of us to help us carry the load and to light our way.